Some people call Joshua Roman a classical rock star. At the tender age of 22, the Seattle Symphony hired him to be the orchestra's principal cellist. 2 years later, he left to start his own solo career. Joshua Roman's back in town to play with the Seattle Youth Symphony Orchestra this weekend. Roman and the orchestra, which is best known as CISO, performed the Seattle premiere of a new work by composer Aaron J. Kernis.
The concerto by Aaron J. Kernis is called Dream Songs, and it's something that he wrote for me last year in 2013. It's a really fantastic piece, two movements, I think around 22 minutes long. And we've done it three times so far with the orchestras that commissioned it, but this will be the Seattle premiere.
So is CISO one of the commissioning orchestras for this work?
They're not, and that's exciting. This is going to be the first performance by an orchestra that wasn't part of the consortium, and that's so important. It's great to have a consortium that supports this and in essence gives a good beginning to the life of the piece, and now we're seeing that start to play out. And we're playing that with other orchestras.
It's hard then for contemporary composers of classical music to actually get beyond those initial commissioners?
It can be very hard, especially when you have fewer commissioners. I think especially when you have one. Is the hardest. When you have one big premiere and no one else has yet programmed it, how do you give it a running start?
How do new works like that compete with the likes of, I don't want to call them chestnuts, because music by Mozart and Bach and Beethoven and Dvorak, I love all of that too,
right.
but those are brand names, if you will, when it comes to music.
Yes.
So how does somebody new and exciting actually break in?
I think it can be difficult. That's something I consider quite a bit. And hopefully there's more and more of this, but there are groups and programmers and performers who see the tradition of classical music being a tradition of innovation, not a tradition of things that are very old. Of course, we have the amazing masterpieces that we play all the time, but they go hand in hand with the creation of new music. You can't have one without the other.
I'm speaking with cellist Joshua Roman. This is a youth symphony. Seattle Youth Symphony Orchestra is made up of teenage players, and you'll be performing with the top orchestra. It's a tiered thing. Did you play with a youth symphony like this one?
I did. I was in the Memphis Youth Symphony and then the Oklahoma Youth Orchestra when I was growing up, and it was great. I mean, to be sitting with people your age, especially at that age, especially for me in high school, and CISO has programs that run the gamut of ages, so even younger. But for me, it was in high school, and it was a profound impact to feel that sense of community and also to get the challenge of doing that together.
I don't know how they feel about approaching you, but I wonder if you, when you look at them and consider what their futures are in classical music, were they to ask you, what would you tell them?
You know, it's kind of funny. I was thinking that at the next rehearsal, I need to have Maestro Radcliffe asked them to stop calling me Mr. Roman.
Did they call you Mr.
They call
Roman?
Me Mr. Roman, which is very funny. And as I was playing at the gala and speaking, I turned around and I saw them, and it struck me that these are my future colleagues.
You have certainly played, as I alluded to earlier, all kinds of music and done all different kinds of projects. And I was most intrigued to read on your website that you're involved now in creating something new with the theater artist Anna Deavere Smith. Tell me a little bit about this collaboration.
Well, this is a new step for her and obviously for me, to be collaborating at this level of intertwining the two forms. And yes, she's had music in the past. Mostly it's been music that led from one thing to another, like a quick turnaround,
right.
5-10 seconds here and there. And she really wanted to explore what it would be like to see some of the ideas take musical form rather than just having it be an interlude.
The topic that you two are working on is something that I've been thinking a lot about, which is grace and what grace is.
The exploration that we have of grace is interesting from many perspectives, and for me, of course, from a musical perspective, what is grace in music, and trying to ask that question and maybe seeking to find some answers. But the characters that show up, I mean, the ones that we've worked with so far, you have a Buddhist monk, you have an imam, you have a rabbi, of course, a preacher, a priest, a boxer, a dancer, someone whose family was killed in the Rwandan genocide. I mean, a lot of different people speaking about what grace means to them, and not all of it comes from the Christian traditional right. view of grace.
And you are writing some of the music that you're performing.
Actually, it ended up being almost all of it. When we first started, I was trying to use Bach. But as we were trying to find the subtlety of difference in particular characters and looking for things that lasted a certain amount of time, longer, shorter, it was really difficult for me to want to chop Bach up. And at certain times, I wanted something a lot more edgy because some of the characters are very edgy. So I started just looking for other things and eventually ended up improvising. And a lot of our process now is the two of us sitting together improvising.
How does working with a theater artist like her and somebody who has a few years on you, how does that inform your own art?
It's been extremely impactful, especially as I've begun to compose. This was sort of the beginning of my recent, I wouldn't say not divergence, but the addition of composing into what I do. And working with a theater person, they're looking for something very specific, and it's not to do with form. It's not to do with the right notes. It's about the right feeling. And it's amazing to me to have been able to start this new part of my journey from that basis. What is the right feeling that I'm capturing here? And then what are the things that I can choose technically, musically, to achieve that?
Had you planned to compose? Was that in your mind all along?
You know, I took some composition lessons when I was in school, and I've done a little bit here and there and a fair amount of arranging, but it's not really. I mean, it was always there, and then it started growing. I was like, I must do this.
You've had such a fascinating career, and you're still so young. I mean, to start out pretty much playing in a symphony orchestra, major symphony, the Seattle Symphony, mm-hmm. to go out on your own as a concert performer, which you did, to be a curator, which you still do, of a
right.
series in Seattle at Town Hall Seattle. And you're wearing your TED Fellow t-shirt, so you've talked. Now you're composing and collaborating with theater. These days, which of these things gives you the most joy?
They all sort of come together for me. I think the thing that keeps me going is that I do have all of these things going on. I grew up in a family that was very musical and in an environment that was very supportive, but it was never a limited thing. It was always do as much as you can, and if you have the ability to do this and you have the time, then why not explore that? And of course, in conservatory, you sort of shut that down for a while and practice scales and do recitals, and that's about it. But then once I got out of that, I came back to this, and I love doing all of these things. It makes me feel more complete, and I can always pull something from one thing back into the other and see it with a renewed energy.
Cellist Joshua Roman performs this Sunday, Mother's Day, May 11th, with the Seattle Youth Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Stephen Radcliffe at Benaroya Hall. Here's a little bit of a recording that we made with Joshua in the KUOW Performance Studio in 2012. Music by Johann Sebastian Bach on the record on KUOW.